One of the questions that people have two different answers for is, the God of the Old Testament, is He the same as the God of the New Testament? And growing up, I was always under the impression, and even after becoming a Christian, I was kind of under the impression that, you know, that you had God the Father over the Old Testament, and then you had Jesus under the New Testament. I don't believe that that's accurate, because that would kind of mean, I mean, what happened with God? Why is He not still the same God over the New Testament, right? Did He fail? I mean, was He not, did He mess something up? What happened, right? But I believe we've got some answers here. One of the things that people will say is that the Son is never mentioned by name in the Old Testament. Had He been God, He would have been, right? Matthew 3:16 through 17, when He had been baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to Him, and saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting upon Him. The reason they said the heavens were open to Him is because what was happening here could not happen for us at the time that it happened for Him. It was open for Him, but it was not for us until after He completed, when He said, "It is finished," on the cross. And Peter was given those keys. He said he saw the Spirit of God, and He is Jesus and John. What happened here was not common knowledge, because it was a witness and a sign to John. Because had this been seen by everyone, then Peter's confession that "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God," would have been, you know, invalid. Everybody would have known it. So, saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting upon Him. And suddenly a voice from heaven came from heaven saying, "This is My beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." This is a scripture that people go to for a couple reasons. One is because they like to show that we don't serve one God, that there are three. There's clearly three different people here. There's this, the Holy Spirit of God, there's the voice that comes from heaven, and there is the Son that was on the earth. And so people who, when we say they're one, we serve one God, they like to go to this. A lot of people will go to this verse and they'll say that this is when the Old Testament God handed the reins over to the New Testament God, right? I don't know if you've ever heard that before, but just digging around, seeing how people saw this verse, these were some things that they said. But this is showing us that there are three separate individuals here in what we call one God. And so we can't take away from that. And so a lot of people will use verses like this and other verses where Jesus says, Abraham was, I am. And He's calling Himself God. And they say that this contradicts, that this is something that people use to try to cast doubt. But God's not confused, right? He knows what He's talking about. And so if we just put a little research into it, a little time, we can start to unravel the spaghetti that people try to throw at you. In Acts chapter 5, verses 1 through 4, a man named Ananias with Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession. And he kept back part of the proceeds, his wife also being aware of it, and brought a certain part of it and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, "Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and keep back part of the price of the land for yourself? For while when it remained, was it not your own?" God saying that when you sold the land, I didn't ask for you to give a certain amount. He said that it wasn't at all yours to dictate, but these people decided that they wanted to act like they gave all of the possessions to the church, all the proceeds to the church, instead of holding back some, because they wanted to appear to the church more holy than they were, I guess, in their eyes, or they wanted to show how generous they were. God didn't appreciate this. And He says, "While it remained, was it not yours? And after it was sold, was it not in your own control? You know, the money that you make is yours. You do with what you want. God is not demanding that you take it. God is asking for you to remember Him." And I think as we grow, we give more. Anyway, "Why have you conceived these things in your heart? You have not lied to men, but to God. You see what they did in that verse right there? He says, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit? And then he turns around and he says, you've not lied to us, but you've lied to God. You see, he's calling the Holy Spirit God. And so, when we say God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, we are recognizing them all as having the authority of God. Certainly, if the Holy Spirit was in this place, we would recognize His authority, right? If He stood there before us, He is in us, but I'm saying if He stood there before us, we would recognize His authority, same as Jesus and same as the Father. But here, the Holy Spirit is called God. 1 Peter 1:10 through 12. Of this salvation the prophets have inquired and searched carefully who prophesied the grace that would come to you, searching what or what manner of things the Spirit of Christ who was in them was indicating when He testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow. To them it was revealed that, not to themselves, but to us, the church, they were ministering the things which now have been reported to you through these who preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things which angels desire to look into. And so, do you see what they did in this verse? The Holy Spirit is the one that was behind the prophesying. The Holy Spirit was behind the miracles of the Old Testament. The Holy Spirit was the one that did these things. But Peter says that those that prophesied of the grace was come was by the Spirit of Christ. See, we see here that the Holy Spirit is referenced as Jesus. Now, we know that there's three separate, but we saw the Holy Spirit called God. Here we say the Spirit of Christ, but it was the Holy Spirit. And so when you start looking into this, it seems like sometimes before you find answers, things get a little more cloudy, right? It seems like that it's a little bit harder. And I think part of that is because God wants to know, do you really want to know the answer? I've got answers for you, but they're not going to be easy. And let's face it, nothing in life that's worth anything is easy. You know, a marriage, going out to eat, that's a good $60 anymore, right? Ooh, what is it? A lot of money. But anyway, if we're willing to continue on, God shows us answers to things. 1 Corinthians 10:1 through 5. Moreover, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware that all our fathers were under the cloud, all passed through the sea, all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and the sea. Do you know that, just take a break here for a second, how God breathes new life, how He gave new life, was always through water. In Genesis, the earth was birthed through water. The nation of Israel were baptized into Moses. They were birthed through water. Jesus received the Holy Spirit through water. And we as Christians, I don't know why this is such a hard concept to link together here, but we as Christians, we're created a new creation, which is a Christian, through water. But anyway, they said they were all baptized into Moses in the cloud and the sea. Verse 3, they all ate the same spiritual food and all drank the same spiritual drink. For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with most of them, God was not well pleased, for their bodies were scattered in the wilderness. Who was with the Israelites when they went through the wilderness? Who went before them? Who delivered them out of Egypt? It says here that it was God. But He makes it very plain that that God that they followed was Christ. You see, just a little bit of research, and we have verses. So we say, okay, no, that's not what John 3:16 says. Acts 2:38, that's not what John 3:16 says. We don't get to erase one verse because this verse doesn't say what we want it to say. We've got to create harmony. So is it possible for three gods to be one? Those are difficult questions. But we see the Holy Spirit was called God. We see the Holy Spirit was referenced to the Spirit of Christ. And we saw Jesus here was called God. And so, instead of us thinking, right, I can understand there's one God, and Christians have an easy answer for this, an easy answer. They say, well, they were one in purpose. Do you know that God sees me and my wife as one? But we're not. But we should have the same mindset as each other. It should be the focus on our life together, what's good for our home, what's good for each other, what's not dangerous, what we don't allow into our house because it would create separation. I have to trust that my wife is not going to do the things that I wouldn't like, and she has to trust, right? She has to trust that I'm not going to do things that she doesn't like. Right. I bet it does till they see the picture. Anyway, so we see here that the Holy Spirit was called God. The Holy Spirit is referenced to the Spirit of Christ. Jesus is called God. And so that should put us into another mindset, that maybe there's another answer here. We can take the easy road and say that they all have the same purpose, but then people will say, nope, you still serve three gods. And you know, in actuality, they're right. What Jesus said when he commanded had to be done. He told Peter, he said, go down, pick out a fish from the water, pull a coin out of its mouth. We don't have evidence that he did that, but because Jesus told him to do that, he did that, right? Temple tax. So the authority of Jesus would never exceed the authority of the Holy Spirit, that would never exceed the authority of God, God the Father. So if you look at it this way, the Holy Spirit would never ask us to do something that Christ condemned, or that the apostles condemned, or that the Word of God condemned, okay? And so we can say that that's how we serve one God. But I believe there's a simpler answer when we look at who was God over the Old Testament. You see, Jesus came to reveal the Father. Jesus ascended, and the Holy Spirit was sent to remain. Before this, he would come and go. There was no indwelling, right? So, God the Father established a plan. A body for Christ was prepared He says, a body you have prepared for me. And that body was the physical body. And even if you want to get really deep, that body was the church coming from the nation of Israel, how it all worked together. But God the Father had the plan. Jesus said, I will do this. And the Holy Spirit said, you're not here, but your people are not orphaned. I am there with them. Okay? And so three separate entities, and the Holy Spirit's not an it. He's not a power source. Jesus refers to the Holy Spirit as Him. He will come. The Helper will come. Okay? So, we have all of these different names, but they're all referencing that the Holy Spirit is God. Jesus is God. Jesus and the Holy Spirit, the name of Christ referenced to the Holy Spirit. So, He's showing all that they are God. And so we either have to come to the understanding that we serve three gods or we serve only one. And when you get down to the question about the Old Testament and New Testament God, John 1:18, no one has seen God at any time. Wow. That's amazing. Do you know that people saw Jesus? John the Baptist saw the Holy Spirit alight upon Jesus, right? Right. But no one has seen the Father. Wait a minute. No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son who is in the bosom of the Father. Here's Jesus. Jesus seems to bring all this together, right? Holy Spirit, Jesus. God, Jesus. Right? Jesus kind of seems to bring this together, doesn't he? Right? He says, no one has seen God, but the only begotten Son, which we have seen, who is in the bosom of the Father, He has declared to him. One of the great things about the book of John, if you've never read the Bible and you want to start reading it, start with the book of John, because they say it talks about all this love, and that's fine. But Jesus said, I have come to reveal the Father to you. You know why? Because no one had ever seen Him. No one had ever seen Him. And you go back and you say, now wait a minute. Adam and Eve. Weren't they walking with God in the cool of the day? The Bible says that God cannot be, the holy God cannot be in the presence of sin. You know, and so these angels weren't like Secret Service to the president. Oh, we got sin. Get him out. Get him in the car. Get him out. Right? That's not what they were doing. Right? God knew, and this is a deep thought here. He made these bodies in the garden so that when sin came, we could continue to live. Man, the bodies that He gave us was constructed in such a way that when something happened and we fell, that He made it so that we could continue to live outside of His presence. Can you believe that a God would do? We should have just been punished and died right then and there, but He didn't do that to us. Wait a minute. No one's seen God. No one's seen God. Wait a minute. That was before the fall, Calvin. That's what they're talking about right there. When they walked in the cool of the day, there was no sin. And no one has seen God. Adam and Eve did, but no one has seen God. Okay, all right. So, I guess I'm mistaken, right? Of all the men, I'm the dumbest, right? Numbers, say what you were saying a minute ago, 12, 6 through 8. We talked about this in Sunday school. This is when Miriam Ethiopian woman, I think it's a scripture I put up here. Miriam, the Ethiopian woman, was with Moses, and Aaron and the rest started giving him chin music, right? They started giving him flack that you shouldn't do this. And God intervened. Hear now my words. If there's a prophet among you, I, the Lord, make myself known to him in a vision. I speak to him. This is God intervening for Moses. This is what He's saying to him. He said, if there's someone among you who knows God, step up. There's a prophet among you. He says, I, the Lord, make myself known to him in a vision. I speak to him in a dream. But He said this of Moses. He said, not so with my servant Moses. He said, he is faithful in all my house. He said, I speak to him face to face, even plainly. He said, I don't come in dark sayings. And he sees the form of the Lord. Well, this is certainly after the fall, isn't it? And he says that the prophets speak in a vision and dreams. He said, but I don't do that with Moses. He said, I speak to him face to face. And I don't speak in riddles. I don't speak in parables. I don't speak in dark visions. He said, I speak to him plainly. And he sees the form of the Lord. He said, why were you then not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? God intervened for him and said, No. You're mistaken. You don't do this. I don't know how Moses would have felt about that, but gosh, for God to stand up for you in such a way, that's what He did on the cross. He stood up for every one of us like that on the cross. But in this instance right here, this was after the fall. So we can't say that Adam and Eve saw God that walked in the cool of the day, and then Moses saw that same God. If the same God is over the Old Testament, the same God, right? You ever heard the term Lord God? You ever heard that? I would hope so, because if you've ever read the Bible, the New King James Version, it's in there 3,752 times. So I would say, yes, you've heard it. And if I was to ask you this question, every one of you would say the same answer. Who is the Lord? Jesus. If you say Lord, who is Lord? Who is our Lord? Right. The Bible says, the Lord thy God. The Lord is thy God, is the God, is your God. 3,752 times. Lord God. Even says, the Lord thy God is one. Why would He say those things? Why would He say those things? Now, if you go back and we reference three separate people, and the Bible says the Lord thy God is one. We either have to come to the realization that we serve three different gods that have the same purpose, or we've only ever served one God. You see, when I say it that way, and when you look at the term that God saw fit to use almost 4,000 times in Scripture, the Lord God. John 10:29-30. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all. Jesus recognizes that the authority in those three people, those three persons, people, the three persons of the Trinity, as we call it, which the people would love to jump down my throat and say the Trinity's not found in Scripture. It's with the name that we've given to what we saw from the Scripture where Jesus and the Holy Spirit came and lighted upon him, and the words from heaven said, "This is my Son in whom I'm well pleased. My Father has given them to me. He is greater than all. And no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hands." And this is where I believe where he says, the Lord God, he said, "I and my Father are one." Are one. Because see, the Father has only one name, right? He is God. He is God. And Jesus said, "I and my Father are one." Now, see, I'm not just taking one verse, right? I've given evidence to show that Jesus is what brings us together with the idea that we have of God. Multiple different scriptures to bring it together. I just don't pull out one verse and say, "Hey, he says, me and my Father are one." We could go back to the idea, yeah, you're one in purpose. No. I think we see that the Lord God, that Jesus being referenced as God, and that him saying the Father is greater. Do you know why the Father is greater? And this is just scratches the surface. This is not the only reason. But you know why the Father is greater? He never left his heavenly glory. That's why he's greater. He never, ever left heaven. He stayed in control. He ruled through his Son. God the Father is greater because he is God. But the Bible tells us that Jesus came to reveal who? Why did you have to reveal the Father to an Old Testament book when he was standing there before the church was established? Because we know he had to die and raise in order for the Holy Spirit to come. That's what makes the church. So when he's in an Old Testament book and he's looking at the people who are under the Old Testament, they should know their God. And he says, "I've come to reveal to you the Father." See, when you start putting this together, he even said, "I'm God." When they said, wait a minute, when he said, "I tell you, your sins are forgiven you. Arise and take your bed and walk." And talking smack is easy, right? So when they asked him and they looked at him, they said, "You can't do that. Only God can forgive sins." And he said, "Okay, so which is easier? Just to say the words that your sins are forgiven you, or arise and take your bed and walk?" Remember, they said only God can forgive sins. He says, "So that you may know that while on earth the Son of Man has authority to what? Forgive sins." Yes. That's God's deal. And he told him, he said, "So that you may know that I have authority." He said, "He'll do both." He said, "Arise and take your bed and walk." Because that was the harder thing to do. Anybody could just say, "I'm God." A lot of people have said that. They've fallen under this delusion. But he tells him, he said, "I have forgiven your sins." He said, "Arise, take your bed and walk." And he did. And they say, "This man blasphemes God." No, this man came to show you the Father because he was the only God that Jay ever knew. Philippians 2:6 says that Jesus said he was equal with God, but he made himself of no reputation. He didn't consider it robbery to say that he was equal with God, but he made himself of no reputation and took a servant of all. That's one of the reasons why the Father was greater. He didn't come to serve us. The Son came to serve us. He had to depart from that heavenly glory and come down to earth and die like a man. The Father never left his heavenly glory. John 16:7 said the Holy Spirit could not come until Jesus ascended. The Holy Spirit was not able to take up permanent residence in us until Jesus completed the task that was given to him by the Father. He told him, he said, "A body I have prepared for you." And you know what that body was? That was a body that could walk with the people in the garden, Adam and Eve. That was a body that could come to Abraham in the form of Melchizedek. That was the body that could stand in the fiery furnace with Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego. That was the body that was able to come through a woman and be born as a man and stand among sinful men day after day after day, and even teach those sinful men, when the Bible plainly says that a holy God cannot be in the presence of sin. And if you read Revelations, where's the Father? He's behind the veil. What's the veil? That's Christ. You see, the only God we've ever known is Christ. Old Testament, New Testament, He's the only God we've ever known. That's why He came to reveal. He says, you serve Me, but there's someone greater than Me that you didn't even know about. He says, I've come to reveal the Father. And they got mad at this because we only serve one God. And you're right, you're looking at Him, but you didn't see it. You missed it. Okay, so if the Son of God, Jesus, is the only God we've ever known, why is He never mentioned by name in the Old Testament? If He's so important, why is He not mentioned not even once? Why don't we hear about the Son ever in the Old Testament? And I would ask you, are you sure about that? They said, look, don't tell me prophecies, right, of someone to come. You want me to believe that the Son came to reveal the Father? Then you show me where the God, where God says He has a Son. Proverbs 30, 2 through 4. It's not on the list. I didn't put it on the list because I didn't want anybody to look at it. Right? Proverbs 30, 2 through 4. Surely I am more stupid than any man. That's what I said earlier. And I do not have the understanding of a man. Verse 3. I neither learn wisdom nor I have knowledge of the Holy One, who has ascended into heaven or descended. See, Jesus is the one that went into heaven and He came. I mean, He was in heaven and came down, and He also ascended. Who has gathered the wind in His fist? Who has bound the waters in His garment? Who has established the ends of the earth? The Bible says that all things were created by Christ, through Christ, and for Christ. Well, it sounds like to me, if anything was created, it would have been created by God. But that's not the point. Tell me when God said He has a Son. What is His name? And what is His Son's name? If you know. Sorry. The God of the Old Testament, the God that created heaven and earth by the authority of His Father, in Proverbs, we see that it was the Son. Right? You can't say that God never mentioned His Son. You can't say that God never had a Son. The God of the Old Testament was the Son. And He made sure that we knew. He says, what is His Son's name if you know? You know what His Son's name was? The Lord God. He's the same Lord that we have now. He's the same Lord that we had then. What is His name if you know? He even mentions His name. He says, my name is my Son. His name is my Son. When I saw this, I thought, oh my gosh, what is His Son's name? The Son of the Holy One. Jesus Himself says, my Father is greater than all. And He said, I and my Father are one. And Jesus came to reveal the Father. Jesus came in the Old Testament, we see He's the one that went forth through the wilderness with the Israelites. That rock that they followed was Christ. And we see that the Holy Spirit that testified through those prophets of the persecution and the glory that would come was called the Spirit of Christ. And so we either have to say, nope, we worship three gods, or we have to say, you know what? The only God we've ever served is Jesus. From the very beginning. And if you think that takes away from the Father, it in no way does. Because Jesus said, He said that in Philippians, I do not consider it robbery to make myself equal with my Father, because we are one. But he said, I've come as a servant for all. What is the name of His Son, if you know? You want to know why God waited? Creation exposed the sin and the hatred that was in Lucifer's heart. Never known it. God knew it, but nobody else would have never known it. So creation exposed the hatred that he had for God. And through the years, we've seen the extreme hatred that was come about for the people of God, how they were killed, how they were persecuted. But through all of this time, God made known his Son. And he showed that his Son was greater than Satan. And the way that he did it is the only way it could have been done. Because see, now we know we follow God, not because of what he gave to us, but because of what he's done and who he is. Am I going to stay the same stupid man and not have an understanding of anything? Not even of a man? I have learned the wisdom of the Holy One. And our God is Jesus Christ. One scripture that I didn't put up here. You see, the Jehovah's Witnesses tear this all to pieces. But if you go to Revelation and you go and it says that I'm the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end, they say, who's that? And he says, that's God speaking. That's not Jesus. Shouldn't be in red. And you just go a couple verses over and he says, I'm the beginning and the end. I'm the first and the last. I'm he who has died and lives again, never to die again. Well, who is that? That's the God that said, I'm the Alpha, the Omega. But Jesus would have never exalted himself above God. He said he was greater. And when he appeared to the disciples in the upper room and Thomas fell at his feet, when he told him, he says, I hear you need to see me, right? You missed me the first time, but I hear you need to see me. He says, put your hand here. That's what you said you needed, right? Put your hand here. That's what you said you needed. And Thomas fell at his feet and he says, my Lord and my God. Lord God, right? Did Jesus rebuke him? When they fell at Peter's feet and they said and went to worship, you know what he told them? He says, I'm just a man like you. Stand up. Jesus didn't say that. He took that praise because that's how glory is given to God, by acknowledging Jesus Christ as our God. It says in the very end, that all rule and authority have been crushed and we enter into the kingdom of the Son. And the Bible says that the Son, being God, control over everything, because the Father trusted the Son, the Father knew the Son, the Father knew that they were one. You know what he's going to do with all that power, all that rule, and all that authority? He's going to do what he's asked us to do. He's going to lay it at the feet of the Father. Our reward as a Christian that have passed through death into life, passed through that judgment, we are the only ones that will get to gaze upon the face of Almighty God. And Jesus, you're right. He said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And in many ways, that is very true. He said, I've come to show you the love that we have for you. I've come to show you what the sacrifice was worth. I've come to show you how precious you are to me. You know, the amazing thing to me is when Peter stood up on the day of Pentecost and began to preach, he really knew very little. Because the Bible shows us a growth period, and Peter shows us a growth period in all the apostles, the few that we get to see in Scripture. And he knew very little, but he knew one thing, that Jesus was his God. My Lord and my God. Peter didn't jump up and say, what are you doing, man? Don't do that. Peter knew. Thomas knew. They were willing to die for their God. You know why? Because they seen their God die for them. Their God die for them. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Lord Jesus, for the remission of sin, and you will receive the gift of His Holy Spirit. And that's a promise made by God. And God is so focused on fulfilling His promises that He let nothing stand in His way. Not even life. He laid it down. You know why? The Bible says that the Father made him a promise. The Father made him a promise. And he says, I will not allow your body to see corruption, and I will not abandon you in the grave in Hades. He said, I won't leave you there. When Jesus raised from the dead, he had to ascend into heaven, and he had to present his blood. He had to present himself as a sacrifice for our atonement. He had to show the Father that he was faithful. You want to know why the Father can trust the Son? Because of what he did. Now it's our turn, right? It's our turn to serve God, our God, in such ferocity that he did. So what's your decision as we stand and as we sing our hymn of invitation?